New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hour number two is underway. And remember, to listen to the show on the go, just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. Always a pleasure to have back with us MLB Talk. That's right, Andy Pondillo back in the house. Good to see you, my friend.
Always a pleasure, and we're definitely into the baseball season now. You can't call it early season anymore.
That's right. We are very excited that it is underway. And how about this, Andy? Let me throw this out to you. Attendance has set a two-week record to start the season. You know, so many times you hear so much chatter about how, you know, baseball is really struggling mightily in terms of that, but people are, they're showing up, aren't they?
It's absolutely comical, and one of the most ridiculous arguments that just goes round and round and round. You'll hear it on the radio, you'll see it on TV, that baseball is struggling. They're not meeting the young demographic. And while some of that is true, they can do a little better at marketing their superstars, do a little better at getting interest in the game for these youngsters. The fact of the matter is, it makes the second most money under the NFL. It makes a buttload of money, and it's over $5-6 billion per year. The teams are maxing out in revenue. A lot of the key markets are selling out their stadium every weekend. And sure, there's going to be days on a Monday or a Tuesday evening where school's in session and it's not going to have a lot of people in the stands. That's kind of just common sense. When you have 81 home games per year, you're not going to sell a thing out every game. It's not like football where there's only 8 home games per season. You know, I'm never going to sit here and say the MLB will be the NFL, but to say this league is struggling, this league is thriving right now financially. There's labor peace. There's a very competitive play on the field. You're seeing parity. You're seeing teams that hadn't been to the postseason in 15 years qualifying now. It's a good time for baseball. The superstars are down. They'll come back. It's just how it just transitions. It's in a transitional period right now.
You know, it's very interesting to hear you say that, because I've kind of bought into that. I've heard so much about MLB. They're saying that it's down. The attendance is down. It's not anywhere near the NFL. But let me ask you this, Andy. What can they do better to market their stars?
I feel like they were really behind when it comes to digital platforms and social media. Bud Selig had never used an email before, sent an email before.
Right.
That was a little that was a little strange. So I think Rob Manfred has the right idea to try and grow the digital platforms to market their superstars digitally a lot more. And, you know, I follow all their accounts on Twitter, on Facebook, the team accounts, and they're doing a lot more this year. I'm seeing a lot more videos. I'm seeing YouTube usage now that we didn't see before. They were just really behind on how to market through the cell phone, through your iPad, through your laptop. And I feel like they're starting to grow that a little bit. When it comes to the youth participation, it's tough because it's easier to pick up a basketball and to shoot it in a hoop. When you're in college, if you're a multi-sport athlete, which a lot of them are now, they're probably going to want to take the football or the basketball first because it's an easier path to the highest level. When you get drafted in baseball, you can get a big bonus if you're a number one pick, but most guys aren't. They're going to go in the second, third, fourth, or even way later rounds. Then they have no guarantee they're ever going to make it to the major leagues, ever going to make that top dollar. When you throw millions of dollars at a multi-sport athlete, they're going to take the deal of the most money right now. So it's a difficult sell. At the same time, if the American participation is slowly declining, they're getting participation in the world. Baseball is a world sport. They're getting people from Venezuela, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Japan. It's growing in Australia. It's growing in China. Baseball's got a good foundation under its belt. There are things they can do, and I think Rob Manfred's a good commissioner to work on them.
Okay, you're listening to The Voice. He is back, Andy Pondillo, right here at YSR. It is our MLB news and notes. And, you know, Andy, we were talking earlier, and you had pointed out that baseball made revenue figures only second, finishing second to the NFL last year. I mean, I didn't know that.
Yes, they're actually generally make significant figures above the NBA, and a lot of people don't see that because the NBA draws a lot higher television ratings. It's not saying one league is better than the other, because all these leagues have their pluses and their minuses.
Right.
But baseball, when people just talk, what I hear about a lot of times is the interest in the financial state. People are questioning it. And there really is no problem with the financial state at baseball. It's as good as it has ever been, and a lot of that is attributed to the labor peace between the owners and the players.
Okay, so the narrative that the sport is dying, that is what uneducated, it's false. It's completely false.
Completely false.
All righty. Andy Pondillo with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Tell the listeners, as we are underway, where they can connect with you.
They can connect with me at AndyYSR on Twitter, and then ClimbingTallisHill.com, the podcast Astro Chat.
All righty. Let's talk about the Enfuego team, one of the hottest teams right now. Are the Mets. What's going on?
Well, they definitely have a good pitching staff. Matt Harvey, the Dark Knight, is back. Bartolo Colon, he seems like he gets younger for some reason. And then Jake DeGrom, they got a really good starting rotation there without Zach Wheeler this year. I was a bit concerned that they might lose some wins, but early on, they've been extremely impressive. Lucas Duda knocking balls out of the park. David Wright, he's hurt. But is David Wright really the factor he was a few years ago? I don't think so. Regardless, I don't think the Mets are this good. I think they're a good team. I think they're going to come down to earth at some point. Regardless, that pitching staff they run out there is always going to give them a chance to win.
Okay, so the Mets are red hot, but the Marlins are not. What's going on?
Well, that's interesting. I think everything's going wrong over there in Miami right now. And the head coach, Redmond, is he going to be on the team in a couple days? I don't know. You already have a manager in risk of being fired, so in a way, I can't blame him.
We're only 2 weeks into the season, Andy.
I'm usually not a guy that says get rid of the manager. There's a difference between struggling. You're struggling when you're, you know, maybe, 5-7, 4-8. You know, I don't know. You're just a few wins behind 500. You can make that up pretty quickly. This team is sinking fast, so they're going to have to turn this thing around. We talk about April, we talk about early in the season, but if you just have an awful April, which my Astros have been a staple of doing that for year after year, going 8-19 in April, that's hard to recover from. It's hard to make up 10 or 11 games under. It can be done, but that means you're going to have to play extremely well in another month. You can't just be 3 or 4 games above 500 from month to month to month. You're going to have one where you completely flip that script around, and that's going to be harder for the Marlins to do early in the year without Jose Fernandez. So I'm a little concerned by them. I still think they're going to figure this thing out. There's too much talent on that team. Giancarlo Stanton is the guy in the National League, in my opinion. So I would wager to say that they'll figure it out. This is just a tough hole they've really built themselves early.
Okay, so we hit on the Mets, the Marlins. Who surprised you so far?
I'd say the Tigers have been the biggest surprise. I felt like their pitching staff was ultra thin this year. They lose Scherzer, Verlander's hurt. You're going to depend on, or you lose Porcello too. So you're depending on David Price. You're depending on Anibal Sanchez to really carry the load on this rotation in an offense that looks really good on paper but didn't produce the amount of runs that it was supposed to last year. There is a lot of question marks for the Tigers this year. There still is. This is the type of team that could fizzle out in August or September with the lack of pitching they have in the rotation. Regardless, right now they're looking good, and Detroit's never shy to make midseason moves.
Okay, Andy Pondillo with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Again, we'd love to hear from you. We are interactive. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports and our podcast page. Again, we have such amazing hosts right here at our network. Join us, yahoosportsradio.com/podcast, and you can check out all of our shows and, of course, our show each and every Friday night, 8 to 10 Eastern Time. We're going to step aside, and we will continue, pick up our discussion with our very own Andy Pondillo. This time, we're going to zero in on the Astros, find out how this week has played out. We will be right back with much, much more. Stay close. We are back with you in hour number 2 at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Nice and cozy inside the Quicken Loan Studios. And right now, we are rejoined once again with Andy Pondillo, our very own from YSR. He joins us each and every week for some MLB news and notes. And of course, he's joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Insurance guest line. Okay, so Andy Pondillo, we are going to head out right now, AL West, right here in our backyard. The Astros, they're first. Could you have expected that?
Well, I wouldn't have expected 8-7 would be enough to have them in first place.
Hey, you never know. You'll take it, right?
I'll take it, but
you bet.
I would have expected they would be around this record this year. They're starting pitching strong. The question marks that a lot of people had were Colin McHugh and Dallas Keuchel, and those two, they've done more than what I think people expected. Can they repeat the year they had last year? And they haven't shown me any signs they can't, because Keuchel actually looks like he's improved from last year on his command. McHugh, he's had a couple control issues, but his stuff is so filthy. he can walk two or three batters and still be very successful because it's hard to put the bat on the ball when he's on the hill. These two guys, if they keep pitching the way they do, they're finishing 500 this year at the very least.
Wow, that's incredible. So it's the pitching, the defensive formula of winning that is working so well.
Yes, best outfield defense I've seen on an Astros unit right now. Kobe Rasmus, George Springer, Jake Marisnyk, three center fielders out in the outfield practically. If you're going to lace a double on this outfield, you're either going to have to put it right down one of the chalk lines. You're going to have to hit a rocket in the middle of the gap because it's not always the plays they make for outs, but it's the plays they cut off. It is extremely hard to get a double on this outfield defense because they're cutting everything off out there. Even if they're not hitting, the value that they can get from this offense or this defensive trio is beyond valuable. I'm curious to see what the analytics are going to be on these guys once the year moves around a little further.
You know, we talked about so much leading into the season about offensively what the Astros were going to do. Are they exceeding your expectations defensively?
I knew that their outfield defense was going to be good. Now, their infield defense, yeah, it was a little bit questionable on the infield. They don't have a lot of rangy guys. Jed Lowry is a guy who makes the plays when they come to him. Very rarely makes an error, but you wouldn't say that he has a lot of range. Altuve, a guy with great instincts, but you still wouldn't say he's the rangiest second baseman you'll see. Valbuena, I didn't know too much about, but great hands over there at third. And then Chris Carter, who hadn't played first base regularly since he's been with the Astros, he really had no clue what you're going to get from him. All of them have been beyond adequate. The infield, I'm not going to sit here and say it's the best in the American League, but if they get to the ball, they're making the plays. This team isn't making errors. They're playing fundamental baseball, and they still haven't quite figured it out all the way with the hitting yet. There's been a lot of strides. There's a lot of guys starting to get it going right now. So this team, I think it shapes up nicely moving forward.
You know what I think too, Andy, just from the outside looking in, I mean, the Astros, they've really put together some really good comebacks. I mean, they're showing signs, they're trending in the right way, that they're breaking out of these slumps.
Yes, and the comebacks, as good as they are offensively, they're attributed to the defense and are attributed to much better bullpen. The bullpen has been number two in the American League. From last year, the worst bullpen in all of Major League Baseball. What a complete change this has been. This gives these young hitters a chance. It makes them feel like they're going to stay in the game. When they're trailing 3-1 in the eighth, it doesn't become 8-1 in the eighth, and then you start pressing at the plate. It's all a domino effect, the defense, the pitching. It all affects the type of at-bats you're going to get, especially from a younger offense like a George Springer, a Jose Altuve, even though he's been around a few years. You know, these guys, they don't have to press like they used to, and that's going to, you know, pay huge dividends once they start rolling around. Evan Gattis, George Springer continue to struggle at the plate, and those are going to be your main run producers. Yet they're still finding ways to win the game. You can look at it two ways, that, you know, how many more games would they have won if they were hitting? Or you can look at it, they're still winning games and they're not getting run production from the middle of the order. And that's hard to do. So the Astros have done well in a lot of regards.
I don't have their schedule in front of me right now, but looking ahead, I mean, what do you see in the month of May for them and what they're going to face?
The conclusion of this month is going to be tough because they're facing a lot of tough teams. May lets up a little bit. However, you know, it's a tough schedule no matter how you dice it up right now for the Astros. The American League, while they don't have necessarily a lot of great teams, they have a lot of competitive teams. If you were to put the teams into three categories, bad, good, great, I feel like you would put 11 of those teams under the good category. And we don't know how good each one is. So no matter who you face, it's going to be competitive. And with the unbalanced schedule, the Astros continue to face these American League West foes. All of these teams, I feel like, have a really good fighter's chance this year outside of maybe the Texas Rangers.
Okay, so the Astros first in the AL West right now. The biggest difference to the season is what? Fill in the blank.
I still say the bullpen. I mean, the bullpen completely changes the dynamic of this team. It was horrible last year. You could play the Astros last season perfect. There are times they played a perfect game for seven innings. The starting pitcher threw shutout ball. The offense put up four or five runs. And they would see their games just absolutely blown up in the eighth and ninth inning. They had, I think, upwards of 28, 30 blown saves. I don't have the number in front of me, but it was a ridiculous number. This bullpen was bad to the point last year where it was in one of the worst bullpens in the history of baseball. To compare it now, it's where you're number two in the American League. It's complete night and day. And I think that was one of the things a lot of people talked about this team, is you completely overhaul the entire bullpen, how different does that make this team? Does that give them 7 or 8 more wins? Does it put them in a wild card hunt? You know, right now I think that we're seeing what I predicted is it probably could put them a little bit above 500.
Are you cautiously optimistic about them?
You have to be, because this order is good, but there's not a ton of proven run producers in this order. George Springer should be a great run producer. Evan Gattis should be a great run producer. Chris Carter, he should be better at a lot of things offensively, but he finally hit his first home run, so that's a promising start for him. So, you know, there's guys in there on paper. This offense should look really, really good. Not so much that they have a lot of all-stars on this team, but they don't have many just bad hitters on this team. You have Jake Mariznick in a 9-hole. Kobe Rasmus can hit 20, 22 home runs in the 8-hole. So you have depth in this lineup. It extends the lineup, and it means that you shouldn't have as many hitters slumping at once.
Okay, I got to get your thoughts. Tell me about low-key Hinch. A.J. Hinch, he's getting his second crack. It obviously, it's working out.
Yeah, so far it's working. I think the player is really bonded with him. I think this is a tight clubhouse. I think they're buying into what he and Jeff Luhnow are preaching to the team. I like his calm, cool, collected character out there. It's very different than Bo Porter.
Okay.
I think he and Luhnow agree what the plan is for this team. I feel like everything's good so far. He's managed the bullpen well. He's tossed the lineup up several times, and I think he's finally getting comfortable with an order he likes to run out there.
Obviously, a better organizational fit. Just across the league, what team are you also tracking and keeping a close watch on, Andy?
I would say those Royals right now. Boy, the Tigers, the Royals, I didn't see this coming. You know, and I hate to be wrong about my predictions. I didn't think the
Andy
Royals,
wrong? What?
I didn't think the Royals were going to hit the ball this year, but this is awfully impressive with how they've started. If they can keep it up, I don't know. I feel like they need to add another arm to that rotation to supplement the loss of Shields in the offseason. They do. I mean, this lineup's impressed me.
Oh, always impressive when Andy Pondilla drops by on our Friday night at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, giving you the very best of MLB news and notes. Andy, quickly tell the listeners across the country where they can connect with you.
That's climbingtowershill.com, podcast Astro Chat.
Okay, you be safe out there on this Friday night. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, always delivering the biggest and the best in sports. I hope all of you are enjoying the NBA playoffs. I certainly am, and it's been a very big week of games. So you want to stay close, especially in our next segment, because we're going to dive in. We're going to talk about some of the top NBA prospects, some of those first-round predictions in this year's NBA draft. We've got a ton of up-and-coming talent that's going to be headed our way. So my point guard tonight, of course, is Lee Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine. It is wonderful. Wonderful to have you back with us. Are you enjoying the playoffs?
It's outstanding. I think we're seeing so many great players, and in some cases, when you look at the Spurs and teams like that, you just don't know how much longer you're going to be able to see guys like Tim Duncan play at this high level like he's been doing. But the windows for these teams are starting to shrink. So teams like the Clippers and the Spurs, their moment is now, where they have to really move forward on the playoffs before it's time to dissemble a team and look for the future.
You know, it's interesting you talk about the Clippers, the Spurs. Who is your favorite out West?
My favorite out West, I'm on the bandwagon with the Warriors. I know there's a question about their toughness, but, Golden State to me has done it both offensively and defensively, and they're so fun to watch. The way they move the basketball, I'd love to see this Warrior team in the NBA Finals.
Hey, Lee Klein is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He was on our show a few weeks ago. We were talking about some of the vacancies in college coaching, but we're seeing a big vacancy. The big storyline this week in the NBA, of course, is Scott Brooks being let go. How do you see that whole situation playing out? Because we've heard so much talk. I mean, they're saying, no, it's not going to be Kevin Ollie or Billy Donovan. Those guys aren't going to be it. But could you see that organization going the direction of hiring a college coach?
Billy Donovan, to me, I think would be a terrific NBA coach. He's proven everything you could on the college level. I think he'd bring an energy and a real connection with guys like Westbrook and Durant that we could take, where the Thunder could really take it back to a level like they were at in 2011.
Okay, so you're saying that they perhaps should target Billy Donovan, but what about as far as an NBA coach on that particular level? Who should they be going after?
Well, again, you know, I like Mark Jackson as far as what he was able to do. I think he's a great leader spiritually as well as a guy who's been there.
And that's important, you know, for Kevin Durant and for Russell, isn't it?
Yeah, and the question becomes, you know, piecing it together with Sam Presti, who's going nowhere, the general manager, and, you know, is he the right fit? Jeff Van Gundy is another one I think is a fantastic coach. Would he, you know, would, unlike his brother, you know, Stan came in, he wanted to run the, you know, not just coach the team, he wanted to run the team. You need a situation where someone's just willing to coach the team and let Presti run it. I don't know if Jeff Van Gundy, who I think would be another excellent choice as somebody who can lead the Thunder back into the championship and maybe actually cut down the Nets one time.
Okay, Lee Klein with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We've only got so much time to have you on the show tonight, so I want to move ahead. Talk to me about, we've got, gosh, these early draft declarations. Kentucky and Duke, they lead the way. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of times these guys have done everything they could on the college level, and the more that they stay in college, the, if you will, their faults become put under a magnifying glass. So I think it's the right move for guys like Tyus Jones and Trey Lyles and guys like that to come out, because the extra year does not guarantee enhanced draft position and more money. And there's this element about the NBA, if you will, franchises, that they're going to do the best job developing their talent, and that college, if you will, the college game's not most indicative of what's needed for the next level.
Who else are you waiting on to make an announcement and to declare their intentions?
Well, everything needs to be in by this Sunday at midnight. So there were four guys late that, if you will, NBA was waiting on. Chris Dunn, who looks like will go back to college in Providence to enhance his vote, maybe from a late first round to a lottery pick. D'Angelo Russell, who looks like he will be in the draft officially, who's going to be a top five pick, probably the first guard taken, whether it be him or Moutier. And then I think, you know, I heard Christian Wood, some debate about it, but looks like he from UNLV, he'll be in the draft. He'll be a first round selection. So it's starting to shape up fairly well. Official comes Sunday, and if nothing else, there'll be a, you know, hope springs eternal come June when the season ends and the NBA draft starts. Everybody's undefeated.
Okay, so let's talk to our Laker fans out there. They are desperate for some hope. Who's going to be the best fit?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I liked for the Laker team, you see, I believe in Jordan Clarkson, who right now is that point guard, who was a find for them. It was a great pick for them.
Right.
And I've seen enough. I think the move to make at and their slot would be Justice Winslow. That would help. You need a guy with Kobe still there that's not going to take too many shots, that could play off the ball. You need a guy that's going to be good defensively and then could emerge, I think, to superstar down the road. To me, that guy's Justice Winslow.
Okay, what about the Harrison twins? How do you see them since they've declared?
Well, I think they're good second-round draft picks. They're, you know, bring them into camp. They're going to be hungry to show what they're capable of doing. If they could shoot it well enough, you know, for Andrew Harrison, if he could shoot it well enough in the pre-draft workouts, could end up making a roster. For Aaron Harrison, showing that he could do enough with the basketball and driving, creating his own shots. I think they are guys that can make a team because they, you know, they defend, they're long, and maybe, you know, they'll have this little chip on their shoulder and they'll take it into workouts and prove themselves that they, you know, rosterable.
Lee Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine, he owns and operates the five-star prestigious basketball camp that's going to be coming up here shortly. Of course, he's joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. What's the key to grooming these guys to have the mindset defensively? We hear so much about their offensive skill set, what they can do, but what about on the defensive end?
Well, there's a great piece, by the way, in Players Tribune by Patrick Patterson as far as advice for guys going for the draft, which any NBA fan, I really recommend it. And one of the things it talks about is, look, you were a star, now get used to being a role player. Except being a role player, the quicker you do that, the better your transition is going to be. But defensively, you're playing against the best perimeter players in the world. And so getting a guy that could defend on the perimeter, if you can't defend on the perimeter, you can't play in the NBA. I mean, that's point blank the biggest issue that most guys in college have. And a guy like Okafor is going to be adjusting to this, you know, this athleticism of guys, how can he get a shot off with guys that are going to be as long as he, as quick as he, maybe even a little more explosive, and having that adjustment and defending guys like that both out on the perimeter, because now, you know, there's very few traditional centers, so you got those guys taking on the outside. Can Okafor show the lateral quickness to stay in front of these stretch fours, guys like Serge Ibaka, that can go and hit the three-point shot as well, take it in to the basket.
Our good friend Lee Klein with Slam Magazine has been joining us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. We are up against the clock. We sincerely appreciate you dropping by. Thank you, Lee.
My pleasure.
Stick around. Much more straight ahead. We're getting ready to tee it up and talk some PGA with Patrick Livingston. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, as we are in hour number two in our final segment. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Remember, normal data rates apply. Well, it's been a big weekend at YSR. We have provided comprehensive coverage of the NBA playoffs. And in our next segment, we're going to tee it up. We're going to reflect on the Masters 2015 as golf celebrates its new hero in Jordan Spieth. We already talked about that in hour number one. It is such a pleasure to welcome back to the show Patrick Livingston. He is the CEO of National Golf Schools and a PGA professional. Good evening, Patrick.
Well, good evening. It's been a great couple weeks for golf, I can certainly say that.
Absolutely. That's why I've been anxious to catch up with you, and I want to get your takeaways on Jordan Spieth's performance. I mean, could you have predicted this type of dominance from start to finish?
No, absolutely not, except he's had just a phenomenal year. His play at the Australian Open, he won that early in the year, and they say that he shot 62 the last round to win that tournament, and that is the best round of golf ever in the history of the Australian Open, and plus it was in the final round. It was an incredible round. So that was kind of a sign of things going to come, that this is a very, very special golfer.
So, Patrick, when you evaluate Jordan Spieth's game, what impresses you the most about it?
Well, for one, he's the number one putter on the tour, and we know how important putting is. So that's a beginning point. But he has no weak points. He has solid irons. He has a good short game. His driving, he's sneaky long, and then he has that it factor. I remember a recent interview. They were talking to, I think it was McIlroy, saying that, he has that certain ink in about it. You can see it. It's in his eyes. He feels he's going to make the shot each and every time. And you either have it or you don't. And his fellow pros feel that he has it.
You know, you talk about his putting, his solid iron play, but I think what amazes me is we got to remember, of course, he's 21, but he just is not fazed at all, or he's unaffected by pressure. I mean, this is the guy that, I mean, he just continues to play so solid and consistent.
No, I think he's like immune to pressure. He plays every shot, the best he can, and whether it's for the Masters or, around with some of his buddies, he hits the shot he wants to hit. It's really amazing. I watched him for, four rounds at the Masters. And, yes, he missed a couple, four-footers on those slippery greens. But every time he needed to make a shot, he did. And I believe it was the third round. He's on 18. He hits his iron to the right of the green. He's got to go over the edge of a bunker, a little downhill lie. The pin's about 20 feet away from the edge, and all the announcers are saying that he can't keep this on the green. There's no way he can keep this shot on the green. If he gets it 25, 30 feet by, it's phenomenal. Well, he had a flop shot. 20,000 people around on tight fringes and tight greens, and hit it perfect, and went about 8 feet by, made the putt coming back, and it was just an amazing four. He has all the shots, and he has the confidence to hit any shot that he wants. I was on 13, right? He had coming to 12, he had a three-stroke lead on Rose.
Right.
And he hits a drive, you know, kind of around the corner on 13, which is a great par 5. Every person in that, every fan there, thought he was going to lay up and try to make birdie, you know, with his wedge. He pulled out a wood and hit that on the green about 20 feet. It was just a miraculous shot. You know, not as great as, you know, Saracen's, you know, 3 on that. But it was a phenomenal, phenomenal shot.
Well, he has incredible belief in himself. He's aggressive, isn't he?
He is aggressive, but he, you know, he has the confidence to hit the shot. He's not taking risky shots. He's taking difficult shots that he feels he can make, and that's a, you know, dramatic, you know, difference in how you approach your game. And he's sneaky long. He drives the ball sneaky long. I'll say this: if there's one chink in his armor, his driver lets him down every now and then. You know, gets him into a little trouble, but he has such great recovery shots, you don't even notice it. Just a phenomenal player.
Hey, PGA professional and president and CEO of National Golf Schools, Patrick Livingston, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E-Radio Sports. And so as we reflect on 2015 Masters winner Jordan Spieth, I mean, is he the next Tiger Woods?
I think so. I mean, he's got a long way to go. You know, their, you know, first year, year and a half is, you know, comparable. But, again, he doesn't have Tiger's length and, you know, Tiger probably had a little more creativity in his short game, but he is such a breath of fresh air on the PGA Tour, and the sky is the limit.
Well, and I also have to say, you talk about being a breath of fresh air. Golf has really needed this, but make way for a new rivalry in golf. We were talking about this in hour number one. I mean, this is such an exciting time. Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy.
Oh, my gosh. You couldn't program it. You know, a kid from Northern Ireland with great looks and a great golf game. I mean, come on, that's like Hollywood stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got Jordan Spieth coming out of the, you know, deep part of Texas with, you know, just a can-do personality and, you know, great looks. I mean, if we tried to make a movie out of that, they'd laugh us out of Hollywood.
Oh, it's so true, Patrick. So is this a better rivalry than Tiger and Phil?
Well, yeah, Tiger and Phil was close, but never seemed like, you know, Phil was always a step behind. I see these two going after each other, you know, toe-to-toe for many, many years to come.
So golf is in a good place. What about, we've got a hit on talking about our lefty in Phil Mickelson. I mean, what is it about the Masters that always brings out the best in him?
Well, when he drives down Magnolia Lane, something happens. His game comes together. His attitude comes together. His creativity comes together. And he even putts better. He loves Augusta, loves you know, the Masters. It's a special thing to him. And somehow he rises to the occasion, you know, almost every time. He played great. I mean, his 14 under par would have won every Masters except 2.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's hard, you know, when you finish, you know, tied for second, but you know, he just ran into a special player in Jordan, you know, last couple weeks.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Patrick Livingston tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. Hey, email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. We always like to give a plug for our podcast page. You can join us at YahooSportsRadio.com/podcast. Always tune in to the Big E Sports Show each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. Right now, we're teaming up with Patrick Livingston, PGA professional, president and CEO of National Golf Schools. And as we talk about Phil Mickelson, I mean, his ability with the sand wedge and with the putter, it's legendary. He has incredible skill. He's won, what I believe, like 36 tournaments on the PGA Tour, 3 major championships. But he continually proves to all of us, forget Father Time. I mean, he continues to get better with age. He's not going anywhere, is he?
No, that's true. No, he's still got the distance, which is, you know, critical to play with the younger pros. He hits it, you know, very deep, and he's got, you know, all the shots, and he still has that gunslinger mentality. If there's a challenge, he thinks he's, you know, get through those 2-3s, or, I mean, you look back to 15 on the final round, he hits his second shot in bunker right, he's, you know, he'll be lucky to get a par. No, he blasts it out in for an eagle. I mean, only Phil can do that. He's a magician mm-hmm. around the green. And he'll try anything, and he can pull it off most of the time.
Oh, you're so right, Patrick. I mean, are you a fan of his flop and lob shots?
Well, they are. Those are incredible. You know,
they are.
You know, I would say nobody could do that, but I saw, you know, Jordan do it on 18, I think only he and Phil would have attempted that type of a shot.
So talk to us and some of the listeners that are tuning in tonight. What are some of the keys to having a consistent short game play?
Well, you have to work on that. You have to get out there and work on the principles. If you're pitching the ball, that's a different type of setup. Okay, it's part of a full swing. Then you have to make sure you follow through as far as you've taken it back. Whereas you go to a shot that's just 20, 30 feet in front of that, that's a chip. Okay, and a chip is like a putt. It's like a pendulum shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so many amateurs I work with, do a poor job on both of those. Rather than working on the techniques of chipping and working on on the techniques of pitching. And the Phils and all pros, have that skill and they use it, during their golf.
Hey, Patrick Livingston's been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, the CEO of National Golf Schools. Tell the listeners where they can go and check out National Golf Schools online.
Absolutely. It's www.nationalgolfschools.com. And we've started a senior program this year. We just had a lot of success. We started at Bonaventure down in Fort Lauderdale. And what we do is we offer seniors a four-day golf school, lodging, all three meals. And it's turned out to be a big success. You can do this for $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you and I went to that same school, just the two of us, it would be over $2,000. So we've kind of catered this new program to it, and we've been very, very successful. Our next one coming up is outside of Asheville at Lake Laura, the great mountain resort.
Oh, my goodness.
Go to our website, check it out, and any of our other 100 golf schools we have around the country.
Okay, Patrick Livingston's been with us tonight, the CEO of National Golf Schools. Next time he's on the show, we want to get the secrets to good bunker play. How important is rhythm, right?
Absolutely. It's kind of funny. Pros aim for the bunkers because it's consistent and they make good swing. Amateurs aim away from it. They just hate to go into a bunker. But when you have the right technique, it's a very easy shot.
Absolutely. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure.
That, of course, was Patrick Livingston, the CEO of National Golf Schools. Got to thank all of our amazing guests tonight. Bill Pennington, award-winning sports writer for the New York Times. Lee Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine. Adam Grossman, the president of Block 6 Analytics, Andy Pondilla from YSR, and Mark Spears, Yahoo NBA writer. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports. Remember, join us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. We'll see you next week.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.